for some of us, for some of us, it's been that kind of year. We've come through pain and process, but we can feel our help coming. My. I said to Sister Jeannie Mae in the office, she came and she said, "How are you doing?" And that's what I said, Brother Sean. I said, "I can feel my help coming. I'm starting to feel better." And those of you who don't know, Brother Sean had an issue with the heart. But he's out here singing and jumping and praising. Nobody but Jesus. And others like Sister Wendy and others of us who have been going through the transitioning of family members and trying to put back together the pieces of our lives so that we can move forward. Nobody but Jesus. Let's go into a moment of prayer. Repeat these words after me, please. Lord, we need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, Lord, what will we do? Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your daughters and sons are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to lift up a few verses of from the passage that Sister Jeannie Mae read in our hearing, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And Sister Erica stepped out with the children in church school, but, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal to her of what to put in that gift bag. Brother Kent, I have a brother in the faith and fraternity, Brother Reggie Parks. We've been friends for 40 years, and we don't see each other face to face, but by text messages, and every now and then he will slide into worship. I can feel his presence, and he just sits in that same seat, and to see a friend from the past of 40 years of friendship and fellowship, just to see the face does something to help to encourage. So Sister Erica says something very profound about longtime friends. I'm going to embarrass him and have him to stand up. Brother Reggie, won't you please stand? Bless you, brother. Love you, man. Verse 18 of first chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of the power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? So that with the eyes of your heart. I don't preach a lot of series of sermons, but today will be the first installment of three, and I suspect a lot of churches and other agencies are capturing this emphasis of 2020 vision, so I'm no different in that regard. But I'd like to preach or teach this morning for a few moments. Going forward with 2020 vision. Going forward with 2020 vision. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. When you see life through your heart's eyes. Going forward with 2020 vision. There are at least two basic eye conditions that most of us know and will, if we haven't already, experience. And at least one of them we will experience, and they are nearsightedness and farsightedness. Nearsightedness is being able to see objects clearly up close, but objects far away are kind of blurry. And farsightedness is objects farther away are seeing clearly while objects up close are blurry. The preferred eyesight, however, is 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision is a term used to express visual clarity, visual sharpness measured at a distance of 20 feet. Now, family, to transition from the science of ophthalmology into the realm of Christianity, the first thing we need to understand is that for believers, spiritual insight is not about eyesight, but vision. The struggle for most, if not all, Christians regarding vision seems to be knowing what we are ultimately called to do. We struggle to know what God is calling us to do and to know who God is calling us to become by and through relationship. And as quiet as is kept with all that the God power potential, all the God power possibilities offered to us to spiritually transform our lives to be useful to the Lord, some Christian experience little shift to usefulness to God and little shift in relationship with God because of the lack of vision. Some people who were uninspired or of low personal expectation before they became Christian, before they got saved, guess what? They continue the same way as Christians with low personal expectation because of the lack of vision. Truth be told, some persons who had an hopeless outlook before they became saved sadly maintain hopeless and powerless and purposeless existence as Christians because of the lack of vision. Check this. There are congregations with developed vision and mission statements that have no community influence. They have motivated no social change. They have not witnessed nor have they inspired Christian conversions. The complete package. They got the mission and the vision and they do all these things, but they are not winning any souls to Christ. Proverbs 29:18 cautions us that for the lack of vision, the people perish. The Message translation says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Some may differ with me on this, but it's really not that the young generation today are that different from past generations. It's not that this current generation is that bad. The real deal is that some children are allowed to exist with little modeling or inspiring of life expectation. In essence, they have no vision. And we can't blame it on the school. They're in school 5.5 hours a day, 6.5 hours a day, and they're at home the rest of the time or someplace else where some well-meaning adult should be supervising them and encouraging them and offering them vision for their lives. When a people remain ignorant or miseducated of how a person or people have succeeded in spite of struggles, when we don't know the struggle, we perish. When Christians turn a blind eye to the immoral, totalitarian ways of a president of these still yet to be United States and receive Christian support through blasphemous eisegesis of scripture and interpretation, the people perish. Some people are dreamers and not visionaries. There is a difference. A dream is something that you see in your sleep. A vision is something so real, so powerful that it won't let you sleep. Harriet Tubman's vision kept her wanting to experience this freedom that the Lord kept revealing to her. Jesus' vision of salvation for people caused him to say, I must work while it is yet day. Jesus was so inspired to do the Lord's will, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Vision will cause you to care more about things, more than others think is wise. Vision will cause you to care more than others think is wise. Vision will cause you to risk more than others think is safe. To be a visionary will cause you to develop a revolutionary spirit like Nelson Mandela, a visionary spirit like Nat Turner. Vision will cause you to develop a revolutionary spirit like Angela Davis and the Black Lives Matter movement. Apostle Paul was a visionary and a revolutionary. Paul was often penning letters to a church while he was in the pen. Y'all miss that? Paul was actually locked up at different times while he was using his literary skills to encourage a church. Paul was locked up in jail one time, and instead of being sad, he started singing because he had a vision. That locked up in the jail cell physically does not mean that one's spirit has to be locked up. I wish I had a praying church this morning. Paul was a visionary and a revolutionary. In a letter to the Ephesian church, as part of a prayer in our text, Paul penned these words, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you. Ancient writings tell us that the heart is understood as the spiritual organ of insight and discernment. The heart that David says, create in me a clean heart. The heart is the space within us that is totally in sync with God. The heart. It is also said that the distance between the head or the brain and the heart is approximately 18 inches. 18 inches separates the connection of academic intellect and spiritual wisdom. 18 inches. Some Christians tend to be more intellectual while other Christians lean towards the spiritual. There's nothing wrong with being intellectual. Nothing wrong with being spiritual. However, an intellectually inspired Christian may often tell what the scripture says, what the scripture means, but intellectuals don't necessarily show how the scripture works. A heart-inspired Christian seems to be able to tell what the scripture says and by their living shows how scripture works. The 75-cent words are orthodoxy and orthopraxis. Heart-inspired believers are willing to to wrestle with the question, am I making a difference for the kingdom of God, or am I just going through the motions? The Ephesian church was a good church, but it had become a complacent church. The church had become out of sync with God's purpose. The church, a good church, had become out of sync, out of line, out of sorts, out of focus with God's purpose. Y'all catching this? Every now and then, a good church, a well-organized church, an historic church needs to go into a season of prayer and discernment and ask the question, have we become satisfied and complacent as a congregation? I ain't talking about. Well, periodically, a congregation needs to ask itself, are we out of sync with the concern, with the concerns of God? Are we out of touch with the Lord's vision for these changing times? Are we out of touch with the shift happening in our community? Still talking about vision. Paul prays for the Ephesian church to have an enlightened heart, a discerning spirit. Paul prays that the church become inspired again with new vision. How many of us know that every now and then we need to check our vision in with God and make sure that the vision is not out of date with what God is doing? As we prepare to enter a new year, a new decade already, as the house of Goshen, let us commit to set aside some time for personal and corporate prayer, asking the Lord to enlighten the eyes of our heart and lead us into his new vision, and to commit to God the cause that is bigger than ourselves. Paul says that the eyes of the heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Somebody help me please and say hope. Visionaries are people of hope. Every Christian is a Christian of faith. Some Christians may lack hope. Faith is the right now. Hope is the not yet. Faith is knowing that we are saved by Jesus Christ. But hope is not understanding all that we have become or will become. Hope is being willing to pursue a purpose without guarantees that it will be successful. That's a tough one, because certain things we don't like to change because we already know what the outcome's going to be. We can count on this and that and that and this. But people of hope don't look to know how it's going to turn out. They leave room for the Holy Ghost. Y'all know who that is, don't you? Visionaries with hope have a particular kind of courage that hold truth and wisdom high, and you are willing to think for yourself. Why? Because you already know that people won't see what you see, nor will people want to do what you do.
Oh.
Brother Reggie, I had a member at my home church, had a theology degree. Served on the trustee ministry. The trustee ministry in my home church, they counted the money. So, you know, I'm saying, Brother so-and-so, I said, you got your degree? You know, you ought to set up a Bible study that will help take the advanced members to a higher level.
No, I don't work that hard.
That's what he said. No vision. When visionary people, when a visionary congregation of hope wake up, the so-called elites begin to tremble in their boots because they are held accountable and can no longer get away with lies and tricks. They can't get away with exploitation and oppression when visionaries wake up. Visionaries with hope see a purpose through a completion because of confidence in a God who is on their side. That's a shouting moment for somebody. You already know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You just don't know how God's going to do it. But you know that God will do it. You don't know how long it's going to take, but you're willing to hold on because you've trusted God before. There's no need to doubt Him now. Our visionary ancestors never saw Philadelphia or Canada on a map. They couldn't Google or MapQuest or Waze Canada or Philadelphia or Waze up north. Our African cousins were guided by a star, guided by an inspired song. Our ancestors walking their way from can't see to can't see through waters around alligators and snakes and crocodiles coming through Montgomery County. They were inspired by God guiding them to liberation and freedom. Family, as you prepare for 2020, make sure that you go forward inspired by the eyes of your heart. That's my message to you. Go forward in 2020 with enlightened eyes of your heart. Go into 2020 walking by faith and not by sight. Go forward into 2020 with clear vision, with a connection of head and heart. Trust in the Lord and the power of His might. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your path. Do I have a witness in this place? 2020 is a new beginning because we go forward to see what the end's going to be. This is a new year coming. You have had 2019 downtime, even been defeated in 2019. But if you trust in the Lord and the power of His might, 2020 vision, eyes of the heart, you will move ahead and you will look upward and you'll move onward. Do I have a witness? With the eyes of your heart enlightened, your vision becomes so clear that your fears become irrelevant. Bless your name, Jesus. With 2020 vision, eyes of the heart enlightened, you will plan ahead. You will look ahead. With 2020 vision, you will step out on faith without knowing the outcome, because you know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish I had a praying church this morning. I heard somebody say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but lean on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What we need to understand as a body of believers, God has not given us a secondary power. God has given us, placed in us, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. Y'all don't hear me? God has placed in us resurrection power. Omnipotent power. Getting up power. God has given us moving on power.
God has given us overcoming power. God has given us reassuring power. And guess what? Guess what? Thank you. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, what the Lord has in store for you. Because the eyes have it. I have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men and women, what the Lord has in store for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I open my mouth to the Lord, and I won't turn back. I will go, I shall go to see what the end's gonna be. Do I have a witness in this place? Anybody willing to go with Jesus some of the way? No. Anybody willing to go with God part of? No. Anybody want to go with God all the way? Say yeah.